Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and also 7 through 11. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We have seen his star as it arose, and we have come to worship him." Then Herod sent a private message to the wise men, asking them to come see him. At this meeting, he learned the exact time when they first saw the star. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way. Once again, the star appeared to them, guiding them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house where the child and his mother Mary were, and they fell down before him and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Our song of meditation this morning is number 114, "As with Gladness, Men of Old."
We do need to add to our prayer list Jim Stevenson. We got a call this morning just before worship that Jim could not be here because he really was not feeling well this morning. So we want to be lifting Jim up in prayer and thank Mary Lou and the choir this morning for that beautiful number. Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There was a weary traveler on Christmas Eve day trying to make it home for the holidays. And he noticed a cheap-looking plastic mistletoe hanging over the ticket counter at the airport. And then he looked at the attendant who was standing there checking people in, and he didn't think she looked like someone who was in any mood to be kissed by a stranger. But he did ask her, "Why the mistletoe?" And in a very surly tone, she said, "So you can kiss your luggage goodbye." It's easy to miss the point of Christmas in all of the hustle and bustle of the season. Now, I happen to love Christmas. This is my favorite holiday, and I love everything about it. I love the decorations and the music and the lights and the trees. I love the Christmas movies, particularly the classics like White Christmas. Even one that's become a classic, and that's The Christmas Story, you know? You'll shoot your eye out. And then my all-time favorite is Holiday Inn. But I also even like the hustle and bustle that goes along with it. And I dislike the fact that Christmas is starting in August these days. Because there's something about those weeks before Christmas that you begin to feel it and you want to be part of it. But I particularly like gift giving. When our younger son, Nathan, was about 8 years old, my brother asked him what he wanted for Christmas. And in typical 8-year-old fashion, he went, "I don't know." And so my brother said, "Do you like sauerkraut?" And Nathan said, "Yeah." And that Christmas, under the tree were several gifts from my brother Paul to Nathan. And Nathan was all excited as he unwrapped the first one. But much to his disappointment, it was a can of sauerkraut. And then as he continued to wrap each of the gifts that Paul had under the tree for him, you guessed it, they were all cans of sauerkraut. Now, Nathan wasn't very happy with his uncle that Christmas. And he never let him forget it. And we keep referring to that Christmas as the sauerkraut Christmas. It wasn't exactly the perfect Christmas gift. But isn't it fun to try and find that perfect gift for a friend or a family member? Maybe they have a special hobby or an interest, or they collect something, or it's just something you know that fits them. However, there are a lot of bad gifts under the Christmas tree. Here's a list of things a husband should never give to a woman for Christmas. Never give a woman any kind of functional household item, something that will make life easier, like a blender, food processor, microwave, vacuum cleaner, dishwasher, lawnmower. You got the idea. Never give bulk cleaning supplies from Sam's Club, saying something like, "This Windex will last for a long time." Don't buy a gift for yourself, pretending that it's a gift for her, and saying, "Honey, just think of all the things I can make you with this new cordless drill." Never purchase gift certificates to Weight Watchers or Jenny Craig. Never purchase anti-wrinkle cream or a book on how to look younger or dress thinner. Now, none of those are considered gifts, but rather they are reasons for seriously injuring the giver. But is there such a thing as the perfect gift? The passage that Lana read to us from Matthew is that familiar story of what we traditionally call the three wise men. Now, Matthew is the only gospel that mentions these visitors. And Scripture doesn't actually say how many there were. We just assume there were at least three because there were three gifts. Scripture calls them magi, and they were more than likely Zoroastrian priests. They were from the area of Persia, and they paid particular attention to the stars. They probably were very familiar with the prophecy of Balaam in the Old Testament book of Numbers, which specifically mentions a star coming out of Jacob. Now, tradition has the magi coming to the manger. But if you listen to what Lana read from Matthew, it tells us that they entered a house, not a stable or a cave. If you come to the Christmas program next Sunday morning at 9:15, you will hear more of that background. It's only the shepherds in Luke's account that actually came to the manger. But we do know that they brought gifts. And at first glance, these gifts seem a little strange. We wouldn't exactly call them perfect gifts for a baby or a child. The first gift was gold. Now, that one we understand, because gold is always a good gift. I actually brought some with me today. You can't see it because it's so small, but I had several nuggets of gold in this little box here that I've picked up at various places. Not quite sure how much these little nuggets would be worth, but gold is a good gift. And gold was fit for a king. In those days, the custom was that if you were going to approach a king, you better be bearing a gift. And the most fitting gift for royalty is gold. And we need to remember that Jesus was a king. and we can never meet him as an equal. We must always meet him on terms of submission and surrender. Lord Admiral Nelson, who was a well-known British naval commander, always treated his vanquished opponents with the greatest kindness and courtesy. And after one of his naval victories, the defeated admiral was brought aboard Nelson's flagship. And knowing of Nelson's reputation for courtesy, he crossed the deck with his hand outstretched as if he was going to shake hands with an equal. But Nelson kept his hands at his side, and he said, "Your sword first, and then your hand." William Barclay says, "Before we are friends with Christ, we must submit to him because he is the King of Kings." The second gift the Magi brought to the baby was frankincense, which can still be purchased as a gift today. You can buy it in the country of Oman, or you can get it on Amazon for $19.95. Or on Friday, I discovered in Berlin, Ohio, this bottle of frankincense oil for only $3.50. Now, frankincense is an aromatic gum resin that seeps from the cuts in a Boswellia sacra tree. Sounds like a great baby gift, doesn't it? Even though a pound of frankincense can be bought today for less than $20, in ancient times it was worth its weight in gold. And frankincense was a gift fit for a priest because it was only used in the temple and only the priest could handle it. The function of a priest was to open the way for people to come to God. The Latin word for priest is pontifex, which literally means bridge builder. So the Magi recognize Jesus as the one who builds a bridge for us to come into the very presence of God. The third gift was myrrh, and like frankincense, it was also worth its weight in gold. It is harvested from the dindin tree, and writings from about 2,700 years ago note that it was used in embalming. Today you can get it on Amazon for $16.95, or you can also get a bottle of it in Berlin, Ohio for $3.50. Myrrh oil. Myrrh was the gift fit for one who would die. And not only was Jesus a priest, the one who would bring us into a personal relationship with God the Father, but he would accomplish all this through his death. In 1870, William Holman Hunt painted a very meaningful picture of Jesus in the carpenter shop. Hunt called it the shadow of death. And in the picture, you can see that Jesus has obviously been hard at work in the shop, and he has stepped away from the workbench for just a moment to stretch out his sore muscles. And in the picture, the sunlight is shining, a shaft of sunlight is shining through the arched doorway of the shop, and it throws a shadow on the other wall as Jesus is stretching his arms, and it's the shadow of a cross. And in the corner of the picture is Mary sitting there, looking up at that shadow with great distress on her face. Gold shows Jesus' kingship, frankincense his priesthood, and myrrh his cross. Jesus was born that first Christmas, not just to lead the way to God, as a king might lead, and not just to bridge the way to God as a priest might, but ultimately to die for our penalty of sin. The most famous of Hunt's paintings is one of Jesus standing at a door knocking. I'm sure you've all seen it. It's a very famous picture. And it's based on the scripture from Revelation 3:20 that says, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." We are invited to open the door of our lives and ask Jesus to be our King. We are invited to open the door of our lives and ask Jesus to be the priest and enter into a personal relationship with God the Father. We are invited to open the door of our lives to the forgiveness that Jesus brings through his death and resurrection. This Christmas season, don't let the trappings and the hustle and bustle of Christmas crowd out your celebration of the coming of Jesus as the light of the world. All we should want for Christmas should be that perfect gift of his presence in our lives. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the best gift, the perfect gift that anyone has ever received, and that of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of response as we prepare for our time of communion is hymn number 124, Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne. We're singing verses 1, 2, and 5 as we prepare for communion. We've entered this time of Advent, and this is just the beginning of the story. And over the next few weeks, and as we reach Christmas Day, we'll be focusing on Jesus coming into the world and the reason that God sent him. But we know that the story continues. And after the first of the year, as we enter Lent and Easter, we will be talking about the crucifixion and the resurrection. And as Randy Turner reminded us this morning, there is still a bookend to the story because we are still waiting for another advent of Jesus, and that is his return. And we don't know when that will happen, but we're still waiting and preparing for that. And so it's appropriate this morning we remember part of that story, and that is what Jesus did for us on the cross.
for it is indescribable yet. For go with us now, and we are your instruments of peace and hope and love and joy. The result of Jesus in heaven.